Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
These are three books I wrote on the subject of money. This is the first one, Financial Overflow, 10 Bible Principles to Unlock Heaven's Unending Supply. I saw my cousin Teddy has a book coming out, Financial Blessing, 10 Secrets to Having More Than Enough. So I feel like he just took my book and typed it into ChatGPT and spit out another title. So here's the original. Then second, I wrote the 20 laws that govern the financial anointing. Money's not a mystery, and money's not a miracle. For most people, they think it's just like, oh, God, help. We don't know where it's going to come from. Money's governed by laws in the Bible. And then my friend Jesse Duplantis wrote the foreword for that, so it's arguably the best part of the book. 35 questions for those who hate the prosperity gospel. You're never going to have anything you hate. It's funny how you hear people on social media say, I hate, but I don't believe in healing. And then somebody gets sick. There's a guy, he's from the Reformed Church. They attack healing all the time. I follow him on Instagram because I can be around people that disagree with me in an area and it not bother me. But he's in the hospital and he wrote, please pray for me. I feel like writing, what would you like us to pray? God, give him grace as he meets an early grave. In Jesus' name, amen. Because all you ever say is you don't believe in healing. But isn't it interesting how people don't believe in healing? And then when they need healed, well, you know, there is one place in the Bible. Yeah. So here's a thought. Instead of being a jerk to everybody that needs healed till you need healed, understand that God has healing for everybody. You'll never have what you attack. And it's interesting, you know. Nah, I'm not going to go into that. There's young people that attack healing that are in the hospital all the time and sick and getting tests. That's not normal. Okay, that's why I said I was going to move along. You don't have to be sick all the time. I feel like I'm giving this speech at the Pfizer conference. But you don't have to be sick and you don't have to be broke. Bible says in Psalm 105:37, he brought his people out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble among their tribe. He brought his people out of Egypt, loaded. Everybody say loaded. With silver and gold, and there was not one feeble amongst their tribe. There's a Pentecostal theologian named Finis Dake. He wrote a study Bible, and he wrote in that Bible, if God was able to keep 1.3 million Israelites healthy in the wilderness, and he's not able to do it today, then we should renounce our covenant in Christ and come back under their covenant because it would be a superior covenant. Then he wrote, is it a superior covenant? Question mark. No. So if God was able to do that then, and we now, Hebrews 8:6, have a better covenant based on better promises, then surely we can have what they had then and more. So what did they have? They were loaded with silver and gold. Where were they going to spend that silver and gold? There's no Target in the Egyptian desert. There's no stores to buy anything. God decked out his children. God paid them back for 380 years of slave wages that they thought they weren't going to get paid. He said, ask your Egyptian captors for their silver and their gold. In this way will you plunder the Egyptians. So they took the money out, and then the Bible says that he kept them not, they weren't sick. There was none feeble. Now, if you're going to go walk 11 miles today, there would be people that aren't sick, but they can't walk 11 miles. They can't walk a mile and a half because they're not sick, but they're feeble. But the Bible says he not only kept them healthy, he kept them strong, and he blessed them with silver and gold. So that is a picture of our covenant in Christ. And we've been dealing with, yesterday we talked about how to pass the money test. After an hour and a half message like that, it's a wonder there's not four people here with tumbleweed blowing around and crickets chirping. But I want to deal today was something that I believe is going to help you on that note. And I want to deal with the money part because I felt in my spirit yesterday when I was preaching that I can tell there's business people, there's people that have climbed and excelled. There's something that is taught subconsciously in church that basically you have needs and then God meets the need. But the Bible says, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. I want to talk to you about how to have a ministry or a business that has no needs. according to the Bible. You have never heard me come to the platform one time in the multiple years that Pastor Mike's had me here and present a need to you and ask if we could have, if you could give to help us meet the need. And you never will hear me say that. And the reason is because I found a superior way of living in the Bible. Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands I'm giving you today. I feel limited again, Brother Devin. Is the sound exactly the same as last night? You sure? All right. I believe you. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all the commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience, everybody say high above, all the nations of the world. Somebody sent a video of the line for TSA PreCheck that's supposed to be the express line at the Philadelphia airport. I saw it this morning when I was getting ready. And the line for TSA PreCheck was 2.5 hours long because they're, just from poor management, from the idiot bureaucrats that can't manage anything. People that if you put them in charge of the Sahara Desert, there'd be a shortage of sand within 2 years. And so there's a 2.5 hour wait, which I've been to the Philadelphia airport. And I'm not saying this like some bragging, jerky statement, but when that's where the nation's going. Well, I have a plane. I had a minister tell me today. He said, well, unless somebody gives me a jet like they gave you. And I wrote back, remember, before anyone gave me a jet, I was renting them. Because the Lord spoke to me. And you can go back in time and hear me say it before I did it. The time's going to come in this country where domestic air travel is going to be untenable for you to do what you're doing. And that was back when everything was flowing smooth, when you went to TSA PreCheck and it was a 2-minute wait. The time's going to come. It's going to devolve. So start believing me for private aircraft so that you can carry out the mission. Well, the Lord telling me to believe him for private aircraft at that time would be like the Lord speaking to me or you right now. Believe me to own the New York Yankees. Like, all right, I don't have any way to do that. But I started with where I was at, one trip. And I think one of the first times I ever took a plane was to come here. It was like this third or fourth time back a while ago, 2017. I was doing it here and there when I needed it. If I finished preaching somewhere on a Saturday night and I had to preach somewhere Sunday morning at 8 a.m., I'd use a jet. But then the Lord said, start doing it now. So I did. Well, then the money got in the budget where if you're using the planes that much, then now you have the money set aside. And then when the plane came, I'm actually going to save a ton of money with that plane this year that gentleman who felt the Lord speak to him to give it, gave it. So I'm bringing that up because I'm not operating on the plane of the nation that I'm in. I'm not complaining about the roads getting torn up or problems with air travel. The Lord has a plan to set you on high where you don't sink to the level of your nation. You operate above that level. So if you can operate above the level of your nation, certainly you can operate above the level of your state or your county. Now, I'm careful in how I present this because the last thing that I want to do is give the impression that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. They should be. At the same time, I'm not sitting biting my nails about who's going to win an election because I'm actually old enough at 43 now to remember that I prospered. We had our best years under Obama with Lois Lerner under the Obama administration, making it hard on nonprofits. Then when who came after him? Trump. We did great under Trump, and I've blown the Trump numbers out of the water with a president that doesn't know where he is. So my blessing is not contingent upon the leadership of my nation. Basically, I want leaders to be in place that help the nation for the sake of other people that operate on a lower level of faith. But I'm not going to sink to the level. I don't care who's in leadership. I followed men like Dr. Benson Itohosa. He didn't have a Democrat in charge that was against evangelism or churches. He had Islamic jihadist dictators that told him they were going to level his church. And then he responded in faith and the thing grew. I'll tell you one story. They told him that they wanted to expand the airport and they were invoking eminent domain to take his church. So they invoked eminent domain and he got up on Sunday and said to the dictator on national TV, the government that tries to take my church will fall before my church falls. And so that's a recipe for a death sentence, but it backed them down. And so Instead, they offered him £1 million in 1970-something for his church, which anybody would have snatched up. But the Lord told him that was the strategic location for his church. So he said, no, I'm not taking the £1 million. So finally, after months of going back and forth, they gave up on him and they went to go take an apartment complex. And to displace those people, they ended up having to pay £10 million dispersed to all the people so they could resettle. Every 100% of the people who lived in that apartment complex went to his church and tithed. He kept his property and he got the £1 million. And so when you follow people like that, then you don't, in fact, since I brought him up, one day I was watching him and Bishop David Oyedepo on YouTube when I was 34. And I was thinking, man, this is crazy how these guys operate. And the Lord spoke to me strong. Watch every video you can on these guys, because the faith you see them operating now with in Nigeria, soon it will take that faith to survive in America. It didn't seem like it back then, but now I can see the beginnings of it, that you're going to have that faith-defying, Pharaoh, let my people go, Red Sea part type of faith. But there's good news. That's part of our covenant. Our covenant is not determined by the nation we're in. It's determined by the God we serve in heaven. And what God's given us overrides the nation that we're in. If you're thankful for that, go ahead and clap your hands to the Lord. What did I do with my Bible? It's over here. That one felt a little late. If you do what the Lord tells you to do, I'll set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience, not you'll believe in, you'll experience. You'll have them. How many know I might not have any money in the bank, but the Bible says I'm rich. That's fine if you quote that the first 6 months you're saved or something. But then there should be some money in the bank. Because the Bible doesn't say you'll believe in the blessings. The Bible says you'll experience. Everybody say, I will experience. How many of the blessings does it say you'll experience? Every last one of these. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They'll attack you from one direction, but they'll run from you in seven directions. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. One reason people don't see a blessing, not you, but there's probably some people watching online that would fall into this category. I'm not really seeing the blessing. What do you do? I've just been waiting, believing. Doesn't say if you wait and believe. It says it'll get put a blessing on what you do. Everywhere your foot will tread, you'll be on land that I've given to you. You don't wait for your harvest to come in or wait for a blessing. You go launch your boat out into the deep and let down your nets. And this time, instead of catching no fish, you have a great catch of fish. There has to be something in you as a Christian that rejects inaction and no activity. You know, pastors do that, just waiting, hoping the Easter crowds up, hoping more people come next Sunday. That's not action. You take specific action directed by the Lord. But I'm just waiting to hear from him. No, you're not listening. Because God will give you something to do. And then when he gives you that instruction, when Peter fished without the blessing, he worked hard all night and caught nothing. When God added the blessing to his same business, same mode of operation, this time the catch of fish was so great that the nets began to tear and the boats began to sink. I see God adding his blessing to everything you do this year in Jesus' mighty name. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do, and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he's giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world, the heathen, will see that you're a people claimed by God, and they'll stand in awe of you. That means when the blessing hits, heathen people will say, you know what? I didn't really believe in God till I saw what God did with her business, or what God did with his company, or God did with their life. Because there's no way. I know him. I went to school with him. There's no way he has the power to do what he did. The heathen will say, surely they're blessed by God, and they'll stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity. What will he give you? I don't believe in prosperity. Then rip Deuteronomy 28 out of your Bible. It's right there in the Bible. You can't, you don't have the option. You're not allowed to say that. Just quit Christianity then. You can't say about something that's in the Bible, word for word. Is that amended? Is there an asterisk at the end? And when you go at the bottom, there's a footnote written by Kenneth Hagin in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1960. No, this wasn't written in Tulsa. This was written in the Middle East. This is written to the children of God, penned by the Holy Ghost. The Lord will give you prosperity. But how many of you know prosperity in the Bible is so much more than money? Yes, but it also includes money. I have prosperity. I don't have any money, but I have peace and joy. Let me tell you something. If they're getting ready to evict you or foreclose on your house, and you have peace and joy, and they're going to throw you and your kids out in the street, you don't have peace and joy or fruit of the Spirit. You have a mental problem. And God's not stupid. He didn't expect you to have peace and joy while you get thrown out of your house and your business foreclosed on. No, it includes peace. It includes joy. But Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. The blessing touches every part of your life, including your needs. Can you say amen? The Lord will give you prosperity. Everybody say, thank you, Father, for giving me prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. Blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend, will bless what? All the work you do. Where do you work? I'm trying to become a realtor. That's not a job. Trying to become a realtor is not a job. There's a lady that called our church, and she's not in her 80s, and she's not a widow. She's like my age or younger. You know, I need help for my apartment. I'm 2 weeks behind, or 2 months behind. So we sent it. Then she called a second time. I said, no, now it's been 6 months. So something's wrong. If you're running into a deficiency, it's not the devil attacking. Devil doesn't care about you. Devil doesn't know who you are. Five people in the Bible tops dealt with the devil personally. Jesus, Eve, Job, if you want to count. He never talked to the devil. The devil smote him with boils. But if you want to count that, who else am I leaving out? Jesus, Job, Eve. Who else dealt with Satan personally? Nice to be with you at the Church of Latter-day Saints in Georgia today. All right, well, I don't know why I'm going to pay close attention if nobody knows anyway. Who? No, I'm saying human beings. Peter. When did Peter deal with Satan? Peter, Satan desired to sift you like wheat. If you want to count, that'd be indirect. I'd count that. And Judas, the devil entered into Judas. But really, there's five. That's five. And think how hard you had to think of five people in the whole, however many thousand year history of Scripture that dealt with Satan. So when I can't pay my rent because the devil stopped me. Really? You know, I feel like if I could get the devil to appear and take the witness stand, he'd say, listen, normally I lie. I've never seen this lady in my life. I've been in Iran and Syria this whole time. I don't even know who she is. And I'd believe him. I'd believe him over you. You may go, Lucifer, back to whatever you're doing. No, you're not, the devil's not attacking you. Everybody say laws. There's laws that govern finances. One of them is a man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. One of them is a man that doesn't provide for his own family has left the faith and is worse than an infidel. Don't dress it up. You know, we have a very spiritual, supernatural church, but we have next to no flakes in our whole church. And I told Pastor Tony and Pastor Clarita why that is. I said, because we talk about tithing and working. And suddenly all the people put their flags back in their flag golf cart and go walk away and take their shofar and put it in their backpack and go to another church. I just want to soak in God's presence. Well, yeah, well, tough luck. Get to work. The Bible doesn't say to soak in God's presence. Paul said, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Hopefully I have the right Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3 off the top of my head. Yep, there it is. 2 Thessalonians 3, I thought it was 5, but it's 6. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command, not suggestion, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from every believer who lives idle lives and don't follow the tradition they receive from us. Brother Devin, I feel like the limiter came off. Did you discover something? I feel like somebody snuck in the morning, like a Presbyterian or something, and jammed up the sound system. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they receive from us. So Paul passed down a way of living. They don't follow the tradition they receive from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. You know, if you talk to pastors, they'll tell you that I pay for, unless they just absolutely physically stop me from doing it. I've called ahead to restaurants. If Adonis is with me, we never lose. Adonis knocked a pastor down fighting to get to the credit card machine. He looked angry. I said, back off a little bit. Do you know where that came from? I was taking offerings like I take them and teaching like I teach. And I read that verse and I read another one in the book of Acts that Paul said, I always took care of the expenses of my companions and those who traveled with me. And the Lord spoke to me, if you're going to preach prosperity like Paul preached it, operate like Paul operated. Because up until then, I was in the Assemblies of God, and it was custom. They sent letters out to the pastors and to the evangelists that a pastor should take care of the traveling expenses of the evangelists, put them up in a hotel. The Lord said, don't do that. So that was a big deal at the time. I had like $300 in the bank. So the next church I said, they said, just send your plane itinerary ahead, and we'll reimburse you for your flight, and we'll put you in a hotel. I said, no, don't worry about it. I have a hotel booked. And I'll take care of the aircraft. And they said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. And then I started doing that from then. And I noticed the change that came. Because it sowed like generosity into the meeting. You know, if I'm asking Pastor Mike to give me my air travel back and to make sure I have at least this much that comes in, what am I saying? I don't really trust you. And I don't really trust this meeting. It's almost like you've sown distrust into the meeting. But on the flip side, when you come and have taken care of your own expenses and not asked for anything, you set yourself apart from the pack. They can tell that you're there because you want to be there and help. You're not in it for you. I noticed a change in the pastors. Obviously, if somebody's already cut you $2,600 for your airfare and put you up in a hotel for another $2,200 and they got $5,000 in the meeting, and most churches don't have much money in the bank. They're already coming in the meeting. You know, these evangelists, you could just tell they were already like miffed from having to spend money. Where when you came in and had sown generosity and trust in the meeting, the pastor was like happy. And then happy to extend the meeting. It's not costing the church anything. It's adding to the church. That was a change that I made. Paul said, you notice we always paid. We never accepted food from anybody without paying for it ourselves. And I did that, and I really do it. Now, there's other evangelists that say they do it, but they don't do it. We take care of all our own expenses. But then they'll call and say, do you know of a good hotel we could stay at? What, do you not have search engines? Do you need to get a VPN so that you can get on Priceline.com? Is it blocked in your area? So they you know, do you know where we could eat? We would pay for it. You don't have to. We don't say we would pay for it. You don't have to. It's booked and settled. There's a few examples. Sometimes when I go to another country, I can't drive there without dying. So I'm being driven by people like when I went to Ghana. I said, where are you taking me? That's not my hotel. They said, we canceled your reservation and we put you here and we're driving. And I'm a prisoner. Unless I'm going to pull a Liam Neeson and choke out the driver and stuff. But then I feel like my generosity would be offset by murdering two of the helpers at the church. So I did that. Nobody gets a bill for my jet. You know, some preachers have jets and then they'll send a bill for how much jet fuel they used. Listen, if you're going to have faith to do something, then you have faith to do it. Don't put it on the other people. Can you say amen? And then if you do that, Paul said, you're in line with him. Because we gave you an example that we never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, But we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. That's in the New Testament under grace. We gave you a command. If you don't work, I don't care that you're hungry. Let that hunger motivate you to get a job because you're not getting fed. Now, our church feeds 5,000 children a day. I'm not feeding men. I don't feel sorry for men. Unless you're missing a leg, half a hand, maybe I'll be a little, feel a little bit for you, but maybe not even then. We have somebody that works at Revival today that's been paralyzed from the waist down since he was 3. I watch him. Open his hatch back up, load him, scoot out the back of the car, put the wheelchair down and get in the wheelchair and then wheel himself into the building. And then when work's over, wheel himself back out to the car, hoist himself into the hatchback, pull the wheelchair in himself and fold it up, and then scoot to the front of the car to drive. So when I see somebody, my hips gets a little tight when it's rainy out. I don't care. Can you say amen? So the Bible says that you're to work. And if you don't work, you don't eat. So when that lady called, she's not a widow. She's got both legs. She's got both shoulders. She has both eyes. I said, you're already in a deficit again? What do you do for work? I'm thinking about becoming a realtor. That's not a job. You know, you watch Wheel of Fortune, they ask people, what do you do for work? I'm an engineer. They ask the other family, what do you do for work? I watch the kids. It's not a job. You don't do anything. And that's why, as long as you disobey that Bible command, money will remain a mystery. It's one of the questions we get the most from our ministry. We've tithed and given offering. What do you do in the season between when you give and you're waiting for your harvest? I've never had that season. You work. I'm getting paid on the 1st and 15th with no help from any angels, and there's nothing any demons can do about it. When that check goes to get direct deposited, I've never had PNC Bank one time say, we can't deposit your money into the account, because every time we do, there's a green smoke. And I'll never let you deposit the money. No. Money's not a mystery. Money follows laws. If you don't work, there's going to be a shortage. Yeah, but I watch... I'm a single mother and I have children. Oh yeah. And what are you doing? Playing Monopoly with them 14 hours a day? They're up in a room on their iPad. You don't have to, what is it, 1880? And you have to go to the steel factory? There's jobs. There's all kinds of money that can be made without ever leaving your home with a MacBook Pro. If somebody is lacking, it's because they have disobeyed this. They can dress it up any way they want. There are people with 5 kids. You know, it's like Americans, this is why I'm preaching this, because we're in danger of this country that was a bunch of poor, uneducated farmers that overthrew the British. And somehow this Bible, thanks to George Whitefield, started to get in people. And it turned a bunch of losers in British colonies into the greatest, strongest economy in the world by far. They can say it however they want. The Bible did that. The principles of the Bible got in people to work hard, to give. 90% of missions giving comes from the United States of America. Much of that would come from Georgia. People grabbed a hold of the principles of God's word and built the strongest economy in the history of the world. Now they're trying to wreck it through demonic principles and communism. But I'm preaching today that the blessing of God must permeate a new generation to not accept defeat and failure, but to make a mark in their generation in Jesus' mighty name. If you know that's why you're here, clap your hands to the Lord one more time in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout hallelujah. So you work. I said, I'm not trying to crush your dream to become a realtor. But in the meantime, go to Wendy's. In-N-Out starting pay. In-N-Out cheeseburgers is $25 an hour. Oh, yeah, but I want to be a real... Yeah, well, tough luck. I want to be an astronaut. When I was 9, I wanted to be like an interplanetary warrior, but it never worked out. So while you're waiting for your dream to come to pass, work. Do something with your hands. Paul said, work with your own hands. Because if you won't do that, that's called pride, and God hates pride. Billy Smith that celebrated his birthday yesterday, I've watched him go about 20x from a police officer making how much a year? No, how much were you making as a, you made $2 million as a police officer? was going to say, you were doing some stuff on the side. I was also collecting money for Pedro. 38,000 as a police officer. To now, I wasn't going to make you tell what you gave now, but to millions of dollars. See, I watched that from the principles of God's word. Hey, Brother Billy, did it drop in your lap or did God give you ideas and anoint what you were doing? What company do you run? Smith Mechanical Heating and Air. Smith Mechanical Heating and Air. Yeah. Work. HVAC. Not prophetic paintings. Nothing wrong. You want to paint prophetically. You're going to have a hard time selling $2 million worth of prophetic paintings unless you're Hunter Biden. Amen. No, he's a good artist. If you're watching, brother, those are great paintings. I'm just messing around. So what? God used the work of his hand. Notice when Jesus, interesting, that when Peter let Jesus use his boat and tied his business equipment in with the work of the Lord, Jesus didn't say, now the God that created fish rewards you with fish. Go get back in your same boat with your same net, launch out into the deep and let down your nets and you'll catch some fish. A blessing comes on what you do. Just like when you're not tied in with God, a curse comes on what you do. There is a curse for disobedience and a blessing for obedience. There's a minister, I wasn't having an argument with him, but I was having a discussion with him. Because in their ministry, stuff went wrong left and right. Boiler break, HVAC break, get that one HVAC fixed, other HVAC breaks. And a couple years ago I said, does your ministry tithe? I don't think that a ministry has to tithe. I feel like the Levites, the tithe was brought to them. So a ministry is kind of exempt from tithing. I said, well, you're wrong. And I said, you notice I'm never having these calls telling you about stuff that's going wrong. It's just I'm getting lucky left and right. And then I'm getting consistently. That's what people think. Jonathan's like, lucky. Jonathan, I don't know what they think. But if somebody's getting consistently lucky, there's an old saying. The secret to success is luck. Ask any failure. Billy, Brother Billy, you have people who think you got lucky, right? Yeah. And family will be the first ones. Oh, yeah, you know, I guess he met this guy and he gave him the contracts. They can't see that there's a blessing and a favor from God. That blessing and favor from God will never depart from your life in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? Well, stuff kept breaking. Things kept going wrong. And he calls again. I said, does your ministry tithe yet? No. I said, how cursed does this thing have to become before you realize your interpretation of the Bible is wrong? I've never understood. Well, I do understand. I know I'm starting to sound like a schizophrenic, but stick with me. I do understand. Because charismatics, just if things aren't going right, who do they blame? The devil. So as they don't see it as a curse for disobedience. The devil's attacking. Devil's attacking our finances. Devil's attacking our HVAC system. Devil's attacking our electrical and heating unit. Okay, explain that to me with the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Though your enemy attacks you from one direction, I will make him run from you in seven directions. One, the shield of faith quenches how many fiery darts of the devil? Oh, if you return to me in the tithe and the offering, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's so great, you won't have room enough to contain it. And when the devourer comes to get it, I, not you, you won't have to pray. We come against the devourer. You don't have to do any of that. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Can you say amen? Now, I was preaching in North Carolina. And there was an older, wealthy couple, I found out, that owned a golf course. And the pastor said they wanted to know if you'd come over for lunch. They want to talk to you about their business. So the husband and wife sat there with me and the pastor. There were a couple other people from their family. And I don't know whether I was like overtired or what, but I wasn't like in the best mood. So they start talking how they bought this golf course and country club and a sinkhole opened up on it. And they got it fixed, $300,000. After they got it fixed, a bigger sinkhole opened up that cost $700,000. They got it fixed. And they said, then now that we got that fixed, this one opened up and they showed me. They said it's going to be about $2 million to fix it. And they can't guarantee that it'll stay fixed any more than it did the last two times. And the lady said this, and this is when I perked up. She said, it's as if the devil has his hand on our property. I said, well, that's the devourer. And the Bible says, if you tithe, the devourer is rebuked for your sake. So I said, and you know, a lot of rich people are mouthy. Not all of them, but some are. And they don't let anybody tell them anything. So I thought, well, I'm just going to say what I got to say. And if we get thrown off the property, I'll go to Chick-fil-A or whatever. I said, do you tithe off of this business? And I told him, I'm just going to tell you what you said. You said it's like the devil has his hand on your property. I said, I believe you. The Bible says if you tithe, that hand of the devil is cut off for your sake without you even asking for it. I said, so I'm not trying to be nosy. And I'm not saying you got to tithe to me. Do it, tithe to any ministry you want. But I said, does this business tithe? They said, you know what? That's it. And she stood up and I thought, okay, well, this is what I thought was going to happen. The lady's going to yell at me. She said, I just went for a walk earlier this week. And the Lord reminded me how we made all this money. We delivered medical equipment and tithed on that company. And our medical equipment business started to expand. And then we bought this country club. And she said, I never made a decision to do it. But for some reason, we just quit tithing. Never thought about it. We just stopped. And she said, when I was praying the other day, I was asking the Lord, and the Lord said to me, remember how you used to operate your business. And she said, and now you said this, so that settles it. We're going to start tithing again. And she said, thank you very much. I said, and remember, I didn't say this. You invited me here. I'm not trying to get you to tithe off of your country club to our ministry. I said, you tithe wherever you go to church or whatever. And then that night, they brought a big check and turned it in. And then I got the letter from the pastor that the Lord gave him a plan on what to do with the property to permanently fix the sinkhole. See, it all turns around. If you return to me, I'll return to you. So it's not like if you've been going the wrong way for 20 years, God makes you go the right way for 20 years to get back to zero. The moment you turn, like the prodigal son, while he was yet afar off, the father ran to greet him. God's not looking to punish you for mistakes. You know, if your daughter isn't doing well in school, or your son's having a problem, you're not, that's good for him. Let him suffer. No, you're looking. Please change your mind. Change your actions. As soon as you do, I'll help you. That's how God is. I see the tide going in the other direction for you from today in Jesus' name. You will not lack. You'll always have more than enough by the blessing of Almighty God. If you believe it, can you say amen? Amen. Yet we hear that some of you, 2 Thessalonians 3:11, are living idle lives, refusing to work, and meddling in other people's business. It's like Paul knew your aunt on Facebook. Refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. There's nothing wrong with needing a ride to church when you get saved. We had a bunch of ladies here from a drug rehab last night. You know, if they get saved and get out of rehab and they need a ride to church, leaving the drug rehab, why do you need a ride? No, there's nothing wrong for 6 months for them needing help getting back on their feet. But if they still need a ride in 4 years, you know, my wife is Puerto Rican. I went to her home church, Spanish Pentecostal. These bunch of people waiting for the free chicken and rice after, can we take an extra plate home? Yeah. I will never be that kind of Christian. I made up my mind that, really? You contribute nothing? You waddling home with your four meals, don't contribute nothing? I was preaching at that church. It's closed down now because God doesn't like it. I could feel he didn't like him then. And I'm like, man, this is like preaching to a brick wall. I almost feel like God doesn't even like these people. And I'm like going against the grain trying to bless them. Like I'm trying to bless people God doesn't want blessed. As I'm thinking that, I turn around and they had one of those old wooden signs up on the wall where it says, last week's attendance, last week's offering, last week's hymn. Now, it wasn't a big church, 38 people. Guess what last week's offering was? $26. When I turned around and saw $26, I closed my Bible and turned my notes over and preached a new message. I said to my Spanish interpreter, "How do you say God detests cheapskates in Spanish?" And she looked at me. I said, "Say it. Let them know I'm saying it. You're fine." And I told him. I said, "It felt like a wall in here. No wonder God's not interested in blessing any of you. He doesn't like you." I said, $26? That's the tithe on two welfare checks. I don't want to hear. Did you know there's a statistic that if the entire church of the Lord Jesus Christ went on welfare, but everyone tithed, church giving would go up 70%. Doesn't have anything to do with how much money people make. That people aren't broke here. I just went to the immigrant processing center in El Paso, and everybody's got a brand new phone. Do you know when the immigrants come in, they immediately take their clothes from them, wash them in those industrial washing machines like they have in Las Vegas for all the hotels, give them fresh clothes to wear while their other clothes are being washed. If their clothes are too torn to wear, then they dispose of them and give them new clothes. So they have two sets of clothes and a phone. They give them the phone so that they can call them for their court date. Don't tell me anybody. There's children that are poor in this country because they've got an alcoholic, gambling addicted, drug addicted parent, whatever, that doesn't feed them. But if you're an adult and you're having trouble with money in this country, I'm sorry this sounds harsh. I'm telling you, I'm not going to scold you, but if you continue that way, you have ignored what I said today. Because you can have a disability, you can have everything against you. The Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? He picks the beggar up from the pit and sets his feet upon the rock to stay. He takes the beggar from the dunghill and sets him among princes. I was speech impaired. I had braces on my legs. I was told I'm going to be limited in what I could do for work. God specializes in taking people the world counts as nothing and using them to shame the wise. Today is the poorest that you'll ever be. You're going to go higher with God today in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive that, go ahead and do what you're already doing. Hallelujah. That church is closed. People think God likes everybody. They must not have a copy of the Bible. I mean, no, God loves everyone. He expressed his love through Christ so that people have an opportunity to receive his love. It's open to everybody. But the Bible says the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. Not with sinners, with the wicked. People that purpose to transgress against God. See, if you don't teach people that, then life's a mystery. How come he's blessed and I'm not? How come that church is growing and mine's not? What actions do you take that that man doesn't take? What actions do you not take that that man takes? The difference in life are the actions that people take in accordance to God's word. That's why that first book that I wrote, Financial Overflow, 10 Bible Principles to Unlock Heaven's Unending Supply. Do you know what that came from? When a man put $1 million check in our offering, and we went from a ministry that had minus 300 in the bank a few years before to 1.1 million in the bank with everything paid. I thought, I don't think this is luck. I've discovered a few things in the Bible since I was at minus 300. What are they? And when I wrote them out, different scriptures I found that I applied to my life, I came up with 10. And when I started acting on these 10 scriptures, it changed from going to a church of 3,000 and having $2,000, $1,500 come in to going to a church of 130 and having $1.1 million come in with 130 people in Europe where they tell you people don't give. And I realized you can walk two different paths. If you want to walk your own path, God will let you do it. It's a hard path. You hit your head a lot. You trip over rocks a lot. You hit a lot of problems. But when you walk God's path, the Bible says the path of the upright shines brighter and brighter until that perfect day. And I'm telling you, and I think you can tell, the motivation in preaching this is if the wealth of the wicked's laid up for the just, and it is, but it ain't just going to fall into your account. There needs to be a new generation of Christians, like there was an old generation of Christians. I haven't been all through Georgia. I counted up, I've been like four or five places. Waycross, Columbus, Locust Grove, and Warner Robins. Those are the four places I've been. I guarantee you, Georgia, because of its history, I could go to a Bible college or a former Bible college that has a beautiful campus made of stone, beautiful dormitories, and there'll be a plaque somewhere that says something like this. This Bible college was erected by the Johnson family. This Bible college was erected by the Warner family. People in this nation, when they followed God, had real wealth. There's homes that they've turned into apartment complexes in Georgia. That was one family's home that took up a square in the city because people operated by the principles of God. Early to bed, early to rise. Get up and work. No devil's attacking my crops. Get out and plant more crops. People didn't have excuses. They worked. They hit breakthroughs like the Walton family and everybody else. And now, from the 1960s, when the Department of Education took over, they started to put a victim mentality in people. I'm broke because of this. These things are in society, and they keep me from being able to break it. And so you have it trickle into the church where people don't give. People make an excuse for poverty or things not working out. It, you know, I'm not talking about temporary poverty. Tornado comes through and wipes your house out, which doesn't have to happen. But if it did, I want to say, well, tough luck, get to work. No. But permanent poverty, generation after generation, nobody's owned a car in 120 years in the family. Nobody's been able to buy a home in 120 years. Something, there is a devourer and a blocker that's holding that family down. You don't get free from it from getting anointed with oil or having people, I bind the demon of poverty. You get in line with the pages of Scripture. And when you do, you start to see what I call and what the Bible calls breakthrough, which is there were barriers that nobody in your family ever crossed, but you begin to cross them. You begin to break the wall that the devil set up to break to keep your family poor and your ministry small. I tell you in the name of Jesus, every barrier that the enemy has set up to say this far and no more, you're breaking through it today in Jesus' name by the might of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, when that guy dropped off that Falcon 50 plane for me to use, Brother Everett, which if this gets back to you, I'll never stop being, I've been sending you a thank you gift every month. Just to let you know, I wasn't thankful once. I'm continually thankful. When my grandmother passed away, I flew down to the funeral in West Virginia in the plane, and I parked it at the airplane hangar by where she was getting buried. The whole Shuttlesworth family was there. And I had just got the plane like 2 weeks ago. My one uncle said, can we see your plane before you leave? I said, sure. So we went to the airport together, the private airport. And I went to the guy at the front desk. I said, would it be okay if you unlock the door so I can take my family out to see our plane? And when I said that, two of my uncles laughed. They went, there's a sentence I never thought I'd hear. Can you open the door so that we can come out on the private runway so the family can see our aircraft? See, my grandfather came from a family of coal miners. They didn't even get paid in dollars. They got paid in company script that was only redeemable at the company store. My grandfather was the first Christian in the family. Felt the call of God on his life to go to Bible school. And it looked like nobody's going anywhere. There's no money in coal mines. And there's less money being an Assemblies of God pastor in the 1960s. When my grandfather had his fourth son, he asked if he could have a $5 a month raise, and the board denied it. So it looks like you're going nowhere, but you're on a path. Can you say amen? When Peter launched his boat out, there's no fish. It's daytime. You don't fish in the daytime. Fish don't move in the Middle East in that heat. It'd be like fishing in Arizona in July at high noon. There's no movement. So I bet you as he's launching out, what are we even doing? We had all our nets put away. We've worked all night. Now we're going back out again because this guy has been kicked out of every synagogue, told us to put our boat out. All right. So there's plenty of opportunity to doubt in the beginning. My grandfather gets that raise denied. Nobody has any money. And the next week, a guy walks into his office in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Said, I heard the board turned down your $5 a month raise. He said, it's true. And he said, well, don't worry about them. And flipped keys to a brand new Cadillac on the desk. He said, I own a Cadillac dealership in Chicago. I like your preaching. He said, that's a brand new Cadillac for you to use. Turn it back in at the end of the year, and I'll give you a brand new one to replace it. He didn't get one Cadillac. That man, Mr. Block, gave my grandfather a brand new Cadillac for 23 straight years. When the devil starts messing with you, it's because he knows God's getting ready to bless you. And I'm preaching this again to let you know, just to erase all doubt. I'm looking at the most blessed people in the south of the United States. God's going to raise you up out of this meeting to take ground from the devil and to build the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Then that guy that owned the dealership found out my grandfather was traveling out for an evangelistic meeting. So he said, would you mind if I drove you to your meeting? I'd like to go. He said, sure. So he picked him up in a brand new Rolls Royce and had my grandfather sit in the back. You know, Rolls Royce is to be driven around in. So they make the back like a living room. So my grandfather's sitting back there studying as he drives him to his meeting. And then he'd routinely pick him up and take him to the meetings in a Rolls Royce and drive him. My grandfather gets a call from the district in the Assemblies of God for a disciplinary hearing. So he comes in, you know, he hadn't had an affair, committed adultery, or doesn't drink. They said, sit down, Mickey. We heard, and we want answers. We've heard that you have a Rolls Royce and a driver, and we know you make $112 a month. So where's the money coming from? Thinking he's stealing from the offering, dealing drugs on the side. Where's the money coming from? And he had to explain, no, this is a guy that owns a car dealership that drives me to the meetings, and they wouldn't believe him. He had to convince them. Do you know what that is? That's the overwhelming blessing of God. Where God blesses you so much, it begins to embarrass you. There's people in this room that have walked into that. When COVID was going on, and you heard everybody talking about how, I don't know what I'm going to do about my business, things are going down, you just go like, and you were almost embarrassed because not only were you surviving 2020, 2021, 2022 in the midst of all that garbage was flying. I don't even want to know what it was like to be Pastor Mike during that time. Our church is down to about the last 80 people, down from 400. Our finances are down. Meanwhile, he's throwing up a building cash. Yeah, you probably couldn't tell too many people. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear you're going in that direction. I'm going in the other direction. I pray today, in the name of Jesus Christ, that when those windows of heaven open over your life today, that God embarrasses you with his blessing, where you have to almost try to hide what God's doing from people because it's too much. It's an overflowing cup. You begin to prove that you don't serve a fake God. Your God is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. That's where you're going in Jesus' mighty name. So knowing that we came from there, my Uncle Ted that's preached here, you know, all our family, they have stories of starting out in evangelism where they didn't have any money to eat and the Holy Spirit spoke to them to go to this certain Burger King, and they went, and the manager heard the voice and said, is that you, Brother Ted? I was in your meetings 2 years ago. Meals on us. We had to get Burger King miracles to eat. Couldn't even afford the Burger King. Those days are over. Don't mind where you're at now. Mind the path that God says that you're on, because that path goes onward and upward, and there's no devil in and out of hell that can block the man who God has blessed. I tell you again in Jesus' name, you are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and clap those hands to the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. That's why I don't really respond much to people that criticize me online. There are people that don't work. Because you know what? If you work a full day, by the time you get done working, you could sit down and say, hey, did you know that your brother posted on Facebook that you're actually the devil incarnate? You'd go, oh, did he? Put ESPN on. So you know when someone has enough energy to write four paragraphs with misspelled words in and out of caps lock, they're on a lot of medication, they need an English class, and they're bums. There's no reason. A person that's lazy is never going to understand the perspective of a working man. How come these people don't pay their fair share? How many believe we should all pay our fair share? What's your fair share of what I legally earned? This nation was actually founded as a rebellion against tax. Tax is a redistribution of wealth. Tax is a punishment for those that produce to pay those that don't produce. Taxes, you know, America had no federal tax till 1913. Were there no hospitals? Were there no roads? No, you had stuff like First Baptist Hospital, First Presbyterian Hospital, the Williams Hospital, that a family would build a hospital. Let me ask you a question. If I have a church, and I do, and my church is making $40 million a year coming in, and there's no road leading to my church and it's hard for my congregants, I'm not going to wait for a road to get built. I'd build a road and make sure it happened. If you have a business, same thing. So somehow they put this mentality in people, which is why the first thing a communist government gets rid of is this book. Because a communist government has to get you to believe that you need the government to take care of you. And you know what? They've all but succeeded in doing that in America. I never thought the day would come where there'd be a virus that broke out and people would comment to the governor on Facebook, "Governor, what are you going to do to keep us healthy?" What do you mean, what's he going to do to keep you healthy? The guy can barely iron his khaki pants. And you want him to stop a virus from coming to you? See, the second you start looking to man for help, you are what I would call screwed. Because man doesn't even have the power to lift himself up, let alone lift the people up. But when you get your eyes, like the Bible says, back on God, God's not a source of my life. God is the source of my life. And if every man is for you, but God is against you, you're a dead man. But if God is for you and every man's against you, you're going straight to the top, whether they like it or not. So I tell you for a fourth time today, congratulations. You're going straight to the top, whether the devil likes it or not. And there's nothing the Democrats can do about it. The Republicans can't find a way to mess it up. You are blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, go ahead, celebrate it. I'm going higher. You're going higher. Today is the smallest that you'll ever be. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, there's a religious institution that I kind of know them. They were raising money because the hot water heater was out for the professors at that Bible school. I know the professors at that Bible school. They all believe in suffering. They believe prosperity is of the devil. Oh, but when your hot water heater goes out, suddenly you don't believe in suffering so much. You want to raise money so you can take hot showers. So all I could do, if I didn't like some of the people that were there, I said, "Hey, I thought y'all believe in suffering. Here's your chance every morning to suffer with a cold shower. How come you want hot water? So you're full of crap. You act like you don't like prosperity, but when your tire's flat, you don't start walking, you go get a new tire. I don't believe in prosperity," somebody writes right now, "on a $2,000 laptop or a $1,500 phone." What'd you type that on? The average human being still drives an ox cart in the world. The average mode of transportation in this world is an ox cart. If the world was 100 people, Americans would be 4 of the 100. Asia, you look at that little circle in China, India, Sri Lanka, and Southeast Asia. There's more people in that little circle than outside that circle. "I don't believe in prosperity." "Oh, yeah, what do you have on your feet? What are you wearing on your chest?" See, I've been where there's no prosperity. There's nothing good about it. "I'm willing to suffer for the Lord." What does that mean? If you're suffering for the Lord in this country, you're bad at planning. Did Paul just suffer? Did Paul look to suffer? No. He took it when he had to. But when they went to whip him and it was illegal, he said, "Is it legal to whip a Roman citizen without charge?" And the head of it said, "Be careful what you're about to do, because if he did it, the same thing got laid on him and worse." They said, "Oh, I didn't know you're a Roman citizen." "I am." They said, "Let him go." He didn't suffer when he didn't have to. "Yeah, I've just been suffering a lot." You're suffering because you have a poor mind. I went to go preach in Plattsburgh, New York, and the pastor said, "There's another evangelist that's holding meetings in this county. He wanted to know if he could meet you." This is like 17 years ago, 20 years. I don't even think, I wasn't married, 20 years ago. So we go, I didn't have any money, but I never allowed my mind to drop to the level of of what I had coming in. If the Bible says I'm a king and a priest, then I carried myself like a king and a priest. Can you say amen? I don't have any money. Yeah, and you're not going to get any talking like that. Father, thank you that you're good. Thank you that you're taking me higher today. Thank you that you're showing me the path forward in Jesus' mighty name. So we go and sit at a restaurant. I'm on the side with the pastor, and the evangelist comes in. And he's like, you know, he's older than me, so he's like miffed because I'm preaching at a bigger church than him. That's, you know, which wasn't that big of a church. Where are you? What hotel are you staying at while you're here? I said, I'm staying at the La Quinta Inn. Oh, I wish I could preach at big churches and stay in hotels like that. But I'm just at a small church, so I'm suffering for the Lord in a Motel 6. I said, can I ask you a question? How much did you pay a night at that Motel 6? $69.99. I said, I'm paying $54. Which, not that the La Quinta is a palace, but in Plattsburgh, New York, it is. It's the nicest hotel in the town at that time. And so I said, I'm paying $54. How'd you do that? I said, I went on Priceline.com, and me and William Shatner worked something out. I did the name your own price. Back then when I was broke, I used to bid a dollar. I'd bid $48. It'd be rejected. You had to wait 12 hours till you could rebid. I'd set a timer on my watch, $49. 12 hours, $50. I'm telling you. But I said, you're not suffering for the Lord, because it irritated me the way he talked to me. I know it's hard for you to believe I would ever talk to somebody like this, but I did. I said, you're not suffering for the Lord. You're suffering because you don't use your brain. I said, you drove into Plattsburgh and looked for the worst hotel and paid what they charged. I said, I looked for the best hotel here and found a way to get a better deal. I'm going to tell you something. If you operate like that, you'll actually interest God. God's not interested in providing for you to stay at a Motel 6. You're his child. But if you start getting eyes of faith, see, he can stay at a Motel 6. I can't stay at a La Quinta Inn. So I was looking for a way to go for the best and get a miracle to make it to come to pass. If you'll get your eyes, somehow they train Christians to be bottom feeders, the lobsters of the earth, the shrimp of the earth, taking the scraps. There's a guy who came, he gave us one of his old cars. The school gave us their old school bus, always taking the crap. The trash, the worst. I don't read that in the Bible. I read silver. I read gold. I read about gates that are fashioned from a single pearl. So if you think the other way, God doesn't get interested. But when you start reaching for the best beyond yourself in faith, saying, God, because I serve you, I'm going for the top in Jesus' name. God will do a miracle for you. And I see miracles beginning to flow your way in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout hallelujah. I got wound up. Give me, because I'm enjoying myself now. Give me 20 minutes. I'll leave you alone. I'll dismiss at 12:30. That's a promise. Anybody getting anything out of this? Somebody say, I have a place at the top. Let's just talk mentality. I always watch preachers' wives, not Pastor Kim. She must have been treated well by Pastor Mike. Most of them have Toomey-sized bags under their eyes. And they look sad and beat up because their husband didn't take care of them. Say this out loud. God is the God of more than enough. That's what El Shaddai means. So he doesn't have where you pick between blessing your wife or feeding children or building a church or getting fuel for a plane. He's got plane fuel money. He's got building money. He's got money to bless your wife. He has money to put your child in private school. He has everything in his hand if you'll just loose your faith and quit saying dumb stuff. I can't afford that. That's your problem. You said that. God didn't say that. We can't afford that. Go put that box of Fruit Loops back and go get Polly the generic cereal parrot on the white box that has a probation electronic bracelet around his ankle and a gold tooth so we can start the day eating cereal with a depressed bird staring us in the face. Yeah, you did that. You did that. Trying to save 60 cents. Some people, if they took the time they took to clip coupons on Saturday and did something else, they'd earn 10 times the money that they saved from clipping the coupons. Can you say amen? Amen. I had to get my wife to do that. My wife likes to clean. Like, really enjoys it. Throws on some Spanish music, ties a do-rag around her head, and goes to work. Singing and dancing and vacuuming at the same time. I said, Adonis, what do you think is a better use of your time? Doing the laundry or writing a children's book? What's going to be the most productive? But I like to clean. And the other people don't do as good a job as me. I know. But write the book. I said, I'll hire cleaning people because that book, what do you pay the cleaning people? $200 they charge? You know, that's what's that? Five books, one person gets a book and donates 200. Why try to save money when you can produce money? Can you say amen? It's a different mentality flip. So my wife would travel with me on the road, and I made up my mind, I'm going to make life the best that I can for my wife on the road. I'm going to treat her like a woman, not like a fellow, not like I'm Rambo and she's Colonel Troutman. And we're bear crawling through, just saving money, sleeping in our car. I didn't have any money, but it's a mentality. Then you'll see how God will bless you. Well, we would normally preach in the Northeast, and we were living in Virginia Beach. So I would do a thing where on the way back, after we finished the meeting, I would get a hotel in Atlantic City. Atlantic City has completely dropped off. There's hardly, and if you go to any casino town, Sunday night through Thursday night, nobody's there. Everybody comes Friday and Saturday. The prices go up five times. Well, I would finish my meetings on Wednesday, and then I'd go check in there. We'd drive down. It's halfway to Virginia Beach. We'd go there on a Thursday night. I would do the name your own price. And because nobody's in that town gambling on a Thursday night, and they think they're going to make the money off of you gambling, I could get a five-star hotel for about $50 on name your own price. So I wouldn't tell her. I'd book it. Book the suite, and I'd say, well, let's stop for the night. And I'd pull into like a Motel 6, and she'd get this wince on her face. All right. And I'd go, just kidding. Then I'd drive further to Harrah's, or back when Trump had that 92-floor hotel there, it was like, great. I'd pull in there, and there's a valet. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Shuttlesworth. Nice to have you. Let us show you. And my wife's face would light up. And, you know, how much did you spend on this? I'd say, I don't want to tell you. But I didn't want to tell her because of how cheap it was. Because even though it was a nice hotel, the people that stayed there before us got carried out in body bags. Amen. I don't want to say Atlantic City is a rough town, but I saw a seagull stab another seagull and take its fish. Squawk! And then there was a sandwich place. It's still there that I highly recommend. It's called White House Subs. It was a mafia-owned place, probably may still be. Atlantic City's an interesting town. They had this is not a joke. They had a picture up in one of the stores of the mayor. You know what the mayor had? Normally you have on a nice, like in Georgia, you'd wear khaki pants, a navy blue blazer, red tie, white shirt. This guy had on Versace sunglasses, an Adidas windbreaker half sipped up, bare chested with hair and a gold medallion. I think he might be connected. You know, it's not good when the mayor's office is in the back of a pizzeria. Hallelujah. I don't know why you said hallelujah. There's really nothing to hallelujah. What funny town. So there's this sandwich place. It's called White House Subs. It's the best cold sandwich I've ever had. The bakery that bakes the bread is next door to it. Fomica Brothers. The small is a foot, and the large is 2 feet. And it's not just big, it's delicious. I mean, it's packed. There's got to be a pound of deli meat in there, and then they put like a pureed hot pepper sauce on it. It's great. Well, it's not much money, but it's the best. I mean, when you go in there, everybody's eating there with their picture signed. George Foreman was late to one of his boxing matches because before the fight, he made them take them there, and he ordered two larges and ate them. 48 inches of bread and meat. And then fought. I eat half of one. I go to sleep till about 3 days later. We'd go there and eat those sandwiches. Then we'd go to the beach. You know, $50 for the room. $18. No, it was like less. Like you could tell it was like a front. You'd order all that meat. It was like $9. Have the best meal you ever had. And then go to the beach. Beach is free. And I wasn't doing it. I'm just telling you, it's a mentality. Where instead I could have just drove through the night, 12 hours. If Brother Jonathan looks a little tired this morning because I had to drive through the night. You didn't have to, you dummy. You chose to because you actually like telling people those stories to get them to feel bad to give you money. But I made up my mind. I'm happy to suffer for the Lord. If I go to Sri Lanka and people, I've suffered for the Lord here. When you go to your own crusade in Newark, New Jersey, and they have highway signs that tonight's the last night of your crusade, and the police were there to kick you off the property. I went through all that. I suffered. I had 400 death threats when we kept our church open for COVID. I'll do that. But I'm not suffering from being cheap. That's not the devil making me drive through the night. That's maybe, no, I'm going to use this little brain and find a plan where now that we've preached for 5 straight days and my wife sacrificed her time with me so that I could minister to people. And she had to be around difficult people and some old pastor's wife. So what do you do? I'm his wife.
You play the piano?
No.
Do you sing?
I don't.
Do you dance?
I used to, but I gave my life to the Lord.
So what do you even do then?
Had to deal with people like that, religious schmucks, jerks, people that the devil sends to take your joy from your assignment. Can you say amen? I saw her have to put up with that, and believe me, I defended her every time I could, but sometimes I wasn't around.
What do you do?
I'd hear somebody talking to my phone, what do you do, ugly? Some lady who looks like the Quaker Oats guy. Amen. Giving everybody a hard time in church. Every church has one. And so after my wife put up with that, then I was, no, now we're going to have some fun. We'd pull into that suite, then go eat sandwiches the next day, go to the beach, go watch the sunset in Cape May, then hop back in the car and drive 4.5 more hours home, stop along the way. Had a nice place. You know, my wife loved Cracker Barrel. She's Puerto Rican. She didn't even know that food. She didn't know what a dumpling was. And we'd go have fun. And that's why my wife and me have the strongest, happiest marriage 18 years in that we've ever had. Because it's a mentality. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm not looking to have it hard. The Bible says, let me see Isaiah 119 up on the screen. Let me have it in two versions. Let me have it in three versions. Let me do King James. Let me do Amplified. And let me do the Living Bible. King James, Amplified, and the Living Bible. Which by faith, I'm hoping there's someone behind that glass. I like how this church is set up like an interrogation room. 3 detectives are back there. I feel like I'm being observed. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. Yes. Say out loud, obedience leads to plenty.
I mean, I've given my life to the Lord. We've never had anything.
Don't blame the Lord. And even the devil's like, also leave me out of it. You did that. Then what's the next one? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the what? Now, take food out of the equation, although it includes food. I'm going to eat I ate the good of the land yesterday. Some of the best food I've ever had is at Rose Hill Seafood. What town's that in? It's in Columbus. I like a place that you can light up a cigarette and nobody says anything to you. Me and Pastor Mike had fried scallops and a couple of Marlboros, and then we went home. It's nice to eat at a restaurant where you're the youngest person there by 45 years. Never seen somebody eat a fried seafood dinner with a World War I veteran hat on. Excuse me, is that a Revolutionary War outfit that you're wearing, son? Are you our waitress today? Can you just answer me a question? What was Grover Cleveland like as a president? Yes, we had a great time watching everyone enjoy their last meal. Tell you what, if I worked there, I'd get the payment up front. No, but those fried scallops at that place. I mean, I've been all over the world. That's a great meal. That's a great place. Fried pecan pies, you can't get that up north. Those Yankees boil the taste out of everything. And you say amen. Oh, yeah, it's great. We eat the good of it. You don't have to be rich to eat at Rose Hill Seafood. You just have to be 90 or older and let you right in. And special seating if you have an oxygen canister. We enjoyed that food. We enjoyed that time together. Let's go to McDonald's. No, I'd like to live past when I'm 51. You don't have to. If I live on the road, and I'm not picking on McDonald's, any fast food place. You know, you live like that. Those preachers die. You actually end up having health problems because of how cheap you are. Let's go to McDonald's. Let's go to Burger King. Let's go to Taco Bell. You can't, you're going to die. You might as well start smoking. It'll kill you. No. Everybody say, the righteous shall eat the good of the land. Let me see that last scripture up there again. I know you love that graphic, and it is a great graphic. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I'll close with this. Let's break that down. So there's only two things I have to be to eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient. Most people, particularly in a meeting like this, on a Thursday morning, I don't think we're dealing with people that have a problem with obedience. When I mentioned tithing, nobody winced. People are committed believers here. Even if you weren't, you probably became one this week. So the obedience part usually is not the problem. People go to church. You're at church. It ain't Sunday. It's not Good Friday. It's regular Thursday. And you're here. And you've been here for a while. 2 hours and 23 minutes at this point. Nope, barely budged. So you're obedient. You love God. You love His Word. You're willing to do what God's word says. But the obedience is only one part. What's the second part? Willing. Most people in the body of Christ are not willing to pay the price you have to pay to be a blessed man or a blessed woman. Brother Billy, I've never talked to you about it before. But when you went from making $32,000 a year to having a $2 million company, did you have people that were friends with you and liked you, but then when you started to rise in income, all of a sudden started to have a problem with you? A couple of accusations. Yeah, I think he's laundering money for the Matamoros drug cartel. Old Billy, he don't have the ability to do that. So I'm telling you, something's going to come out about him. I bet you he has a woman on the side. That's what they do. They'll start coming after you because there's people that are comfortable with you as long as you're smaller than them. Pastor Mike, did you have good pastoral relationships with certain ministers when your church was tiny and starting out and you felt a change as the church started to grow and you passed them? There's people that like you lower than them. And you don't even have to go past them. When you start to approach them, that happened to me early in evangelism, man. When I had no meetings and no money, I'd have these older evangelists that, you know, we want to help you. You're going to do great. If I was in their meetings, they'd call me out and lay hands on me. Then when my schedule started to fill up, I mean, just a little bit. And I got a little bit of money. And cars with legal tires. I wasn't driving a car on four rollerblade wheels, four spares. Now I could tell a change. 8 minutes of their message would be an indirect rebuke. There's certain evangelists, I know, I'm looking around, I'm the only evangelist here. There's certain evangelists that do this. They think this. Lord starts to bless them. They get an attitude. And then they'd call me out to pray for me. Now it wasn't Lord bless them. It was a rebuke. Something wrong. You could tell there was a shift and a change in their attitude. See, people are obedient. But then when you start prospering, you have to be willing to let your brothers sell you into slavery because you're wearing a coat that has too many colors for their liking. When Joseph got blessed by his father, his own brothers rose up. The original plan was to kill him. And then his nice brother said, hey, instead of killing him, let's human traffic him. And they sold him into slavery. Then he got falsely accused and put in prison. See, I'm not telling you you're going to get human trafficked. Although I want to be hanging out around that liquor store after 1 a.m. I'll tell you that right now. Or you're rolling the dice on the old human trafficking. But I'm not telling you you're going to be sold into slavery in the Middle East, but I'm telling you people's attitudes change. They liked you poor. They liked you struggling. Even if they were going to pray for you, they just liked. You made them feel better about themselves that you were lower than them. Then when you grow, I had it happen in Pittsburgh when our church grew. One guy tagged me and Pastor Rodney in on a text. Jonathan's taking our people. What do you want me to do? I didn't take anybody. Do you want me to post two ushers in front of our church with AR-15s and say, can I have some ID and a letter from the last church you attended with a release form from your pastor, or we're going to shoot you in the head? We open the doors and anybody that wants to come in can come in. I didn't hire anybody. I didn't hire anybody away. I don't private contact anybody. I might have texted my wife. I think I've called my wife once and texted her twice because we're both extremely busy. Not calling people, hey, ever thought about coming over? You can't manipulate people into your church anyway. So he tags me and Pastor Rodney. You know, Jonathan has stolen a lot of our people. And then he says that he stole a bunch of our youth members. Do you know why a bunch of their youth members came to our church? I found out. Their youth pastor announced in May, 2 summers ago, my wife and I haven't had a summer off in many years, so we're taking the summer off from youth ministry, from May to September. Do you know what the best time to do youth ministry is? Haven't had a summer off. What are you, a child? Nobody has summers off. Hey, boss, would it be okay if I get the summer off? I'll see you in the fall. When the leaves start changing, I'll be back in for my shift. Yeah, but yeah, keep walking. You can also take the fall and winter off. I'm done with you. So their lazy bum youth pastor takes the summer off. The kids didn't stop going to church. They just found another church to go to. That's not my problem. You should be yelling at your youth pastor, not me. We just took who came in. You gave them to us. Can you say amen? I've never been to one youth meeting at our church. I keep wanting to go, but then I just keep playing one more video game and then youth meeting's over. Never took anybody. And then he writes on the thing, I see, Jonathan, I say this in love. Somebody prefaces it with that. You're about to hear like a curse. I see you going the way that Jack Coe went. Jack Coe died at 38 because you have no love for the body of Christ. So I wrote back, I'm not going the way Jack Coe went because I'm 41. So I'm already down the road past him. Then Pastor Rodney, I don't think the guy that it turned out the way he thought it was going to turn out, because Pastor Rodney lit him up. I mean, even I was reading it going, yeesh. And that ended that message. You have to put up with that. People, I never got any of those texts when we had 280 people or 350 people. But when we hit 1,000 people, city councils, mayors trying to get us shut down from the building we're using. So most people, if they're not careful, most people, if they were Joseph, they'd tell their brothers, all right, you don't like this coat? No problem. Here, you can have it, or I'll leave it hung up in the closet. I don't wear that coat. My dad gave it to me. I keep it hung up in the closet because my brothers don't like it. And I don't want to cause problems in the family. Joseph broke that thing out and wore it. Don't keep your father's coat of many colors he gave you hung up in the closet because your brothers don't like it. Break that thing out and wear it, and don't be ashamed of the blessing of God. Can you say amen? When they gave me that airplane, they can't do an expose on me on CBS that Jonathan actually has an airplane. They can't do an expose that when my dad came to preach at our church, I had a Lear 60 waiting for him at the airport to take him home so he didn't have an 8-hour trip home to Bangor, Maine in his 60s. Because I tell everybody, I post it. There's nothing to expose because I've exposed everything. I don't have a watch that I wear on vacation and a watch that I wear in the pulpit because some people can't handle it. If you can't handle me being blessed, go find another church with a pastor that's poor enough to satisfy your desires. I'm not ashamed of the blessing of God. You shouldn't be ashamed of the blessing of God. And if you're willing to pay the price and you're obedient to the word of God, you shall eat the good of the land in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you receive it, clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I see you eating the good of the land. I see you eating the ribeye of the land. I see you staying in the best, driving the best, living in the best, wearing the best. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let's stand on your feet, everybody. I said I'd have you out at 12:30. Say it one time. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. You know, all I was going to deal with was having no needs, but the Lord must have felt you were past that, because we went straight to desires of your heart more than enough. It's a mentality. Now, every hand lifted, every eye closed. There are people here that the Lord doesn't have to give you any new instruction. He already spoke to you about a piece of property or starting a business and filling out the paperwork for it. I have shown you, oh man, that which is good. God's already spoken to you about what the next step is. But you've been dragging your feet because you still have a slavery mentality in you from Egypt. What do I mean by that? It took God one night to take the Israelites out of Egypt, but it took him 40 years to take the Egypt out of the Israelites. They felt like slaves. They felt like grasshoppers. They made decisions like slaves and grasshoppers. You can put your hands down briefly and look up at me. I saw a demographic chart. Remember when there was East Germany and West Germany? East Germany was communist, West Germany was capitalist. Then the wall came down. You literally, when you look at the elections in Germany, where the wall was, all of the eastern side still votes communist and all the western side still votes capitalist. Because they're free, but they're not free. You can shout and dance and all that stuff and you can have the blessing of Abraham, but if the devil can make your mind think small and think hardship and glorify smallness and glorify hardship. You know, I don't like mega churches. I like a small church. All right, well, you and Jesus are different. The early church was a big church. Churches can start small, but there's no way to follow the pattern of the Bible and have your church remain small. But if you like it, you'll have what you like. Why not fall in love with the blessing? See, I like the blessing. I didn't hear about Jesse Duplantis getting a Falcon 7X and go, what does he need a second plane for? No, God's got enough for everybody. There's not a pie that has to be divided up. Say out loud, there's no pie, there's an endless supply. If Pastor Tony walks out today and somebody feels to bless him, let's say ridiculous. Like somebody says, you know what? I want to give you money for a down payment, a major down payment on a nice house. My wife and I want to give you and Sister Clarita $150,000. And he tells me, and the offering this week ends up being $31,000. He leaves with $150,000. I'm the preacher. Most people can't handle anybody being blessed but them. God doesn't have to shortchange me to bless somebody else. And God doesn't have to, and blessing me isn't shortchanging other people. Because when you give, it comes multiplied back to you from heaven, and heaven's supply is limitless. God brought quail up from the sea, not down from the sky, from the sea, which is where he created everything. That's where the gold coin came from, the fish's mouth, and that's a whole nother revelation. There is a limitless, inexhaustible supply. That's why I titled that book, How to Tap into Heaven's Unending Supply. Got no problems. God has no shortage. He owns all the silver. He owns all the gold. And he has the ability to create more silver and gold. So there's no lack. Jonathan, you said we don't ever have to lack. Where's that in the Bible? Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I have everything I need. All my needs are supplied. Say out loud, I shall not lack. I have all my needs supplied. Before any need arises, the provision is there ahead of time. Lift both hands and close your eyes once more. What are you believing God to do for you today? What is the next step that the Lord's already shown you that you dragged your feet on because the people you hang out with are losers that celebrate smallness and stagnation and no growth? Make the move. I don't really have money for that property right now. Go put your feet on the land and see what happens. See who just happens to be there that day, that happens to know your sister and was looking to unload the property. Praise God. Put your hands down and look up at me one more time. Check this out. Everybody say, make a move. My grandfather was pastor in a church in the woods of Virginia. West Virginia. And the church needed expanded, and he was driving with my uncle and got an idea. He said, I dated that girl in high school that lives on that land. Let me try something real quick. Pulls his Cadillac up there, gets out, knocks on the door. She comes out with a cigarette. Hey, Mickey, how are you? He said, good. He said, I'd like to buy this land off of you to expand our church. Will you help me out? Yeah, I'll help you out. So he doesn't have the money for the land. Doesn't have any money, not a little, none. But the Lord gave him an idea. Everybody say the gift of faith. She worked out a price. He said, can I harvest your trees before we settle the pay? Yeah. So he harvested the trees and the money from the lumber guy that he knew, paid for the land with money left over to build the church. Can you say amen? And he bought that land and built that church with no money. From a divine idea from God. You'll eat the good of the land. The best is yours. I like the word a church today. but no churches have more than 5 or 7 acres, and this one's got how many acres? 42. That's not a little more. That's a lot more. Can you say amen? Because if you're willing, what was that? Isaiah 1:19. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Do you have it in the Living Bible? If you couldn't find that one, that's an obscure one. Isaiah 1:19 in the Living Bible? No? It's okay. You know what it says in the Living Bible? If you'll only let me help you, I could make you rich. That's God talking to us. If you'd only let me help you. If you'd just quit saying what your grandma used to say. My uncle always said, who needs a new car? Okay, then you won't have any new cars. If you only let me help you, I can make you rich. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You're not going to have your needs met this year. You're going to meet the needs of other people. There's people in this place that you're going to buy a home for someone else, not just for yourself. You're going to hear about a need someone has. You're not going to sow a seed. You're going to sow the whole harvest. You're going to light somebody's world up by your obedience and by your overflowing cup. That's the fun of being blessed. It's fun. I did it before. I walked into a Cracker Barrel and I went to pay. I saw an older couple eating together and I could tell it was like a strain. I can spot financial strain a mile away. I said to the server, let me get their bill when they're done. Then I looked at another table. I said, let me get theirs too. Well, there's only a few more tables. I said, you know what? Anybody that started eating since before I came in here or just now, bring me everybody's check in the whole place. You know, Cracker Barrel, you pay for the whole restaurant. It was pretty full. It was like $883 for a packed Cracker Barrel. I don't know how that place stays in business, but they do. I told the waitress, don't tell anybody. So the manager came over and said, our server said, you want to pay for everybody in the restaurant? Like, I think our server's losing her mind. I said, yeah, that's right. And I said, I don't expect you to trust me. I had a suit and tie on. I just came from church. Camila wanted to eat there. She likes the biscuits. I handed her my American Express, the silver card. I said, that doesn't have a limit on it, so I don't expect you to trust me, but you can keep that. She said, no, I believe you. I didn't think anybody, we've never had anybody do that before. Well, I didn't do it for this reason. I actually told the waitress, don't tell anybody. But I found out, like, when Jesus healed people and said, don't tell anyone, and they went and told everybody. All the waitress did was say, don't tell anyone, but that man over there paid for your meal. Do you know that whole time I ate, I had a line of people. And it's Pennsylvania. I don't think you guys hug in Georgia. But in Pennsylvania, they're big huggers. Bending down, hugging me. Hey, they told me what you did. I want to say thanks. I said, well, I told them not to tell. I was just being nice. Why? I said, I'm from here. I like the people here. I said, I wanted to just do something. And they go, what do you do for work? I'm a pastor. What church? I'll see you there. That literally everybody said that. There was, I know you're not supposed to say this, but there was a black family. You know, I don't know, they were black and they were a family. What do you want me to say? There was an urban family. What's the correct term? I don't know. They were there and they were having, their son died. 31, the grandmother told me. They have something that we don't have in our Polish families. It's a special dinner they have after the funeral. Anybody know what it's called? Repast. That's exactly what it is. I forget that, what she said, a repast. So they were having the whole family for that and had just had to bury their son. And they said, you don't have to pay for your dinner. That man did. Let me tell you something. That family came over crying and said, thanks for paying for our repast. I said, I don't know what that is. They said, our son just died at 31 and we've had to bury him. This was our repast dinner that we have after the funeral. And we want to say thank you. And I mean, you know, again, you're not supposed to say stuff like this, but black people hug differently. It's warmer. You'd have thought that lady was my grandma. Warm hug. Thank you. I'll never forget this. What do you do for work? Well, I wasn't doing it for this. I said, but I'm a pastor. Okay, what church? Wrote it down. We're going to be at your church. You know what I thought after that? Why do I spend $1,000 on Facebook for ads when you could just go do that? Next place I went to preach, New Mexico. I did the same thing. They have a restaurant called Maria Bonita. And I told the guy up front, I said, I want to pay for everybody's meal today. That one came to about $1,100. But you'd spend $1,000 on Facebook ads like this. Well, same thing. I sat outside. I was the only one sitting outside because I don't get to feel the sun too much in the Northeast. One family after another. In fact, the one guy that was the head of his family, Mexican family, he spoke through my wife. My wife interpreted for me. He said in Spanish, "I can't come to your church tonight, but I'll be there tomorrow night with all of my family." And sure enough, when I took the mic Monday night, they were in the back corner and he waved to me. See, money has a spiritual thing to it. It's a powerful thing. It shows care. It shows love. Can you say amen? When you have a shortage of it, it hurts. When you have an abundance of it, it makes life fun. Because, yeah, you can do things to bless you. You can do things to bless your wife. If somebody's not interested in blessing their wife, me and you aren't going to get along. We don't think alike. I like watching my wife's face light up. I love watching my daughter's face light up. I love watching other people light up. I like paying. You know, when you see a couple that's like 78, 82, and you can tell, they go out to eat once a week at Cracker Barrel, and that's all they can afford on a fixed income. It's fun taking the bill. And then go, hey, you know, like genuinely, thank you. I've never had anybody do that before. I pray in the name of Jesus that this year, 2024, the phrase you hear most is two of them. I've never seen anyone do that before. Three of them. I've never had anybody do that before. And number three, I've never done this for anybody before. I've never seen anybody do that before. I've never had anybody do that before. And number three, we've never done this for anybody before. What you make happen for others, God's going to make happen for you. You're going to do things to bless other people, and other people are going to do things to bless you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. It's fun to be blessed. Hey, let me tell you one more thing. I know it's past 12:30. Forgive me. I only get to see you once every 18 months or so. We stay at this resort in Arizona when we go on vacation. And I blessed all the staff. I bring a bunch of cash to tip everybody. And then I sent them a gift basket that had food for the staff because they treat my daughter really nice. I had a bunch of them because I was treating them so nice. Look me up online. And that time I was going to preach in Phoenix. They said, you're a preacher and you're preaching here this time. I said, yeah. They said, we're all going to come. They all came. Got in line for prayer. The one lady had to leave early. I thought maybe she didn't like it. When I came into the lobby the next time, she said, I'm not supposed to do this here, but I had to leave early yesterday and didn't get prayer. Would you pray, lay hands on me and pray for me? This is like a very nice resort. Why? Because you're kind. Because you're like Jesus. You treat people. How would I want to, if I was the valet, what would I want done for me? If I worked at the front desk, what would I wish someone did for me? You go through life like that. Treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Instead, why don't people treat me? What you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. The three things you're going to hear the most this year are, I've never seen anyone do that before. We've never had anybody do that before. And we've never done this for anybody before. As you show favor to others, favor is going to come and overtake you in every area of life. Transportation miracles, vacation miracles, housing miracles, business expansion miracles, employees that are sent from heaven instead of employees that are sent from hell, people to help hold your arms up in the thing that God called you to do. Every crisis that this nation experiences, it'll never touch your house. It'll never touch your family. It'll never touch your business. You're going to operate set high above all the nations of the world. You're going to be a star in your generation. You're going to give people a reason to testify that there is a God, because I know that guy. And I know he can't do that by himself. I know she can't do that by herself. If you believe it, can you say amen? Lift your hands. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Be unusually blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Blessed when you come in. Blessed when you go out. The Lord will protect you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you. The Lord will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Anybody in here that's on a fixed income, it is now declared unfixed in Jesus' mighty name. God's not tied to the Social Security system. God will bless you in your 80s. like he'll bless you when you're 9. God doesn't care how old you are. He responds to obedience. And because you're obedient and because you're willing, you're going to eat the good of the land in Jesus' mighty name. So rejoice and be glad. Congratulations in advance on the best year that you've ever had in Jesus' mighty name. Give the Lord a great hand clap and shout. Give him a great hand clap and shout on YouTube, on the app, wherever you're watching X. Say it right out loud. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Praise God. You can be seated briefly. I'm going to give you a chance to sow seed in this morning service. Tonight we'll pick up with the evangelistic revival services. No one has to give, but I'm going to give you the opportunity. And this morning, anyone that gives, that it's your, we don't have you in the system. If I've already sent you the books, I'm not going to send them again. We will send you a thank you. But anybody that gives today, whatever size seed you give, I'm going to send you all three of these books, live and online, because I want them to get out. That's why I was telling the people that are watching me back in our office, stop sending small amounts of books to the meetings. Worst case scenario, we have to ship them back, or I could give them. I wrote these to get the word out. Retrain Christians' minds. Christians should be the richest people in America. There's no reason not to be. They should pull the nation up. When we started that church, we had 12 full-time employees. We have 53 now. So that's 40-some new people that are employed from what we do. And I see the governor reposting businesses coming to Pennsylvania that are hiring 250 people. I'm not far off that. There's some people that I invest in stocks that our income is higher than theirs. Theirs is all just loans and speculation on if their technology ever hits. Let me tell you something. God will take you higher than you ever thought, faster than you ever thought. Can you say amen? I was teaching on this one time, and I was talking about home ownership and what the Bible says about owning land and property. Somebody popped on YouTube and went, did Paul ever own a home? Like, there's no answer to it. Acts chapter 28, even as a prisoner, Paul maintained his own private residence and was allowed to see visitors regularly. So I read that to him and they wrote, oh. That's why Paul said that this works whether you're bond or free. Because even as a prisoner, the blessing of God worked for him. They gave him his own private home, like a cartel leader. He didn't have to stay in the prison. They gave him his own house. It's the blessing. People say, I'm blessed. Say, because I'm blessed, I cannot be cursed. Yeah. Witches are wasting their time. I was watching a documentary on this guy, Aleister Crowley. He was the top Satanist in the early 1900s, and he lived in Southern California and started like a commune, and that's kind of why that started to spread there. And he hooked in, he actually hooked in with a lot of Hollywood people. So it roots way back 100 years. So they were saying that he was so powerful that one time with a lot of witnesses, as they called their spells and everything, he reached over and without touching it was able to make a lamp move 8 inches to the left. I thought, that's what you get as the top Satanist. After doing all his spells, he was able to move a lamp 8 inches to the left. I can do that with my left hand and I'm right-handed. No spells, no cat blood, no cauldrons, no forest, no leaves, no black pointy hat. Ta-da. That's why I like Christianity. We're not moving a lamp 8 inches to the left. Open the eyes of the blind. Unstop the ears of the deaf. Build big churches supernaturally. Acquire land supernaturally. And enjoy the blessing of God. Can you say amen? How many of you are ready to have the best year you've ever had? Well, I pray this seed plays a big part in that. Hold your seed up before the Lord. If you're giving online, revivaltoday.com, you click give now. If you want to mail a check, Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania. Praise God. Father, thank you for 100-fold return on every seed that's sown. I pray testimonies would abound from this group of people. I pray people that already feel like they're at the top, like Solomon did. For when you told Solomon, I'm going to make you rich, he was already rich. I pray you'd show even successful people that are here a new level of success. In Jesus' name, thank you for new open doors. Thank you for new paths. Thank you for new vehicles of opportunity, new windows that open. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. All God's people said, I got to say, you were quite the delightful bunch of people to preach to today. Thanks for giving me a great time ministering the Bible. I feel bad for a lot of preachers. It's hard preaching. Preach to the wrong people. You guys are awesome. I can feel you receiving it. And I'm excited to hear what happens. What do I do with my phone? This came in yesterday from Rebecca. I went through years of infertility and suffered an ectopic pregnancy that nearly took my life. 4 years went by after my surgery, and I was told by the doctors that IVF was my only hope of ever having a child. Painfully, I discovered that my body would not respond to the IVF medications. My ovarian reserve was nearly zero at 0.14, and the one fallopian tube I had left was not functioning properly. I knew I needed a miracle if I was ever to have my own baby. I had been binge-watching every broadcast and sermon of Jonathan and Adela since January of 2023. So when the doctors gave me the death sentence over my womb, I knew better. That's not the will of God. Then in June 2023, while watching Jonathan preach live online in Rowlett, Texas, he spoke a word out. You're going to have your own child, my friend. No IVF. The Lord opens your womb. I don't care what a doctor told you. The Lord makes you every whit whole. My hair stood on end. I knew that word was for me. I turned to my husband. Did you just hear that? I knew right then there that I needed to go to what no eye has seen in a couple of weeks. I told my husband, I'm going to Pittsburgh. I'm receiving my miracle. I'm coming home and I'm having a baby. I immediately bought my ticket from Alaska to Pittsburgh, and the rest is history. The first night Bishop Dag Haywood Mills ministered, he called people forward for healing. He spoke a word of knowledge. I see someone and you can't have a child. That was me, so I stepped forward instantly. It all happened just as he said. As he went down the line praying for all the barren women, he spoke the words, 1 year from today, may your testimony be beautiful. That was July 4th, 2023, and my baby boy is due June 7th, 2024. I know, praise God. I know Bishop Dag told me not to cry when he prayed for me that night, but I can't help but weep tears of joy when I think about how good God truly is. I'm so thankful. Thank you, Jonathan and Dallas. You'll never know how much your ministry has impacted and continues to impact my life. Well, thanks for taking time to write it. We serve a miracle-working God. So if you want to go to that event, it's June 30th through July 7th, and it's going to be a year, a week of heaven on earth. No question about it. So it's free to attend, and you're welcome to be there. Praise God. Stand on your feet, everybody. Praise God. I'm going to have Sister Clarita sing you out with a song of praise, and you can bring the offering to the buckets. 7 o'clock tonight. If you're watching online, get here to Georgia. Got 7 o'clock tonight, and then on Good Friday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Tomorrow morning, we'll do a healing service. Good Friday. And then tomorrow night, we'll close out the revival service with our guy, and I would expect that to be overflowing. And we will have, I think, 3 food trucks there for before the service. If you want to get there and have something to eat and have some fun with people in the parking lot, fire off a couple guns in the air, whatever. Praise God. Were you blessed today? Well, how many appreciate Sister Clarita? Not too many people could do what she does. Got a breakthrough anointing. I love you guys. Have the best day you've ever had. I'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. Go ahead, Sister Clarita.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.